I be playing.
Hello and welcome to Skybox. I'm Mark Mayfield, editorial advisor in the Office of Student Media, and with me are co-hosts Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs here at the University of Alabama, and Andrew Deer, Coordinator for Informal Recreation on campus. It's a huge Saturday for college football, and as bad as some of the matchups were last weekend, we have the other extreme today, some major conference and non-conference games that are going to have a major impact on the national rankings and the playoff chase. We're also thrilled today to have Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox joining us here in just a while in the studio to talk about all of these games, including, of course, Alabama's showdown over at Oxford with Ole Miss. And the mayor also will give us some insight on all the great things going on in our favorite college football town in America. We've seen some wonderful development and changes going on in Tuscaloosa during the mayor's tenure, and we'll talk with him about all of that in just a while. We're also going to ask the mayor to join us in some truly fearless college football picks today. So, Adam, we're just getting too legit to quit here on Skybox with the mayor in the studio, you know. He was here last year and classed up the joint then, too.
It's true. It's an embarrassment of riches on the show today. We have the mayor who's returned, and so he kind of knows our shtick and has chosen to come back.
Right. Amazing.
On top of that, we have great games all day long today and a great slate of games, especially following up the second week that was a little light on games, and we're coming off of an Alabama home win into another huge Alabama road game, not to mention huge games in the ACC and the SEC, Big Ten games, even Notre Dame is playing a football game today. So really, it's a huge day for the show. Another beautiful Saturday here in Tuscaloosa. So excited to have the mayor here. Even in the studio already, he said some great, great, great things, so I can't wait to talk to him a little bit more. Andrew, what is your Saturday going to look like? I hear a rumor that you're headed out on the road and you're going to go to Ole Miss.
I am. I am on the road to Ole Miss. I am excited, going to go to the Grove, hang out with some friends, see some buddies I haven't seen in a while, and hopefully bring back a W for the Crimson Tide. So I'm gonna do my part from the road. I expect you guys to do your part at home watching the game on TV.
So really, how much of your part is going to include incessantly talking about the Hilltoppers today? That's really the question, Andrew.
Whoever will listen.
Okay.
Yeah. So whoever will listen, and luckily I've got the platform now to do that.
Nice.
So really that's been my deal the whole time.
This Hilltopper thing, I mean, you know, I of course we're adding the Hilltopper market, which is good.
We keep adding. Yeah. You know, Bowling Green, Kentucky, talking about people, getting them in here.
It's a
no
big
doubt.
Market.
No
we
doubt
start off early Saturday with a great game, Florida State at Louisville at 11 a.m. this morning. So it starts early with the good games.
And it's a really great game, and it is. And then, you know, we were talking before we went on the air about the fact that it is great that it's early game. Mm-hmm. It gives us a really important game right off the bat at beginning at 11 o'clock. So for the fan watching football all day, that's a great way to start.
It's a great game for the ACC, having Louisville be actually in contention.
I was gonna say, an electric matchup. How fun is it that Louisville is this good, and how fun is it that we have this game so earlier in the season? Maybe a couple weeks ago before the season started, you wouldn't have looked at it this way, but it's fun for both of these teams. It's fun for the ACC and definitely the state of Kentucky.
And I'm not much of an ACC apologist, don't get me wrong. The teams in that conference have not played very good football in the past, but that conference was built on Virginia Tech being good and Miami being good, mm-hmm. and a lot of these programs that got into the conference and then went down pretty quickly. And so Louisville being one of the new kids on the block could really help out the conference quite a bit.
Right. A lot of other big games today.
Absolutely.
We'll get into more detail on these. But, you know, even like Miami at Appalachian State's a tough game to pick,
it's interesting,
I think.
Yeah.
And we got Vandy at Georgia Tech, Colorado at Michigan. But the bigger games, Oregon at Nebraska, obviously Bama, Ole Miss. You know, Texas A&M at Auburn, huge game down there on the Plains.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Michigan State, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Big game. We haven't seen much of what Sparty is. We've seen Texas A&M be good this year so far. And that's relatively normal for them. The question is, how long can they keep it up?
Right.
Auburn's almost the opposite. Auburn stumbles in the early year and then pulls something together at the end. And so,
This is a tough 2 week period for Auburn. They got A&M, I think, this week. I think they got LSU next week.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this is a lot of pressure on Malzahn in that program.
Three out of the 4 weeks they've had Clemson, LSU and A&M. That's tough.
Well, you can lose your season in the first 3-4 weeks if you're Auburn, and not a lot of other teams in the country can do that. But they can't really win their season this early, but they can certainly lose their season. Mm-hmm. They can get out of contention here real fast.
Right. Absolutely. Ohio State at Oklahoma, big game.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Coming this evening, 6:30.
JT Barrett, really excited to see what he does. Oklahoma, are they going to bounce back? Are they going to bounce back like everybody expected them to? Are they going to look like the team that is going to win the Big 12 and go into the Final Four? Really interesting to see there.
Ohio State, this last few years, they've really taken on a lot of big out-of-conference games in the second or third week of the season. So they haven't played a lot of these first week big kind of games, and so they've started a little slower. So they've had their games against Bowling Green. They've had some warm-up before they're playing Oklahoma, which is a little different than the teams that went out of the gate against an opponent like this.
And they win those games.
They do win those games.
Herb has lost, two or three games.
Three games,
since he's been the coach there. So interesting to see how that plays out.
He's had great recruiting. He's got an Alabama-like program there. This is a really good program he has. And this is a tough game for Oklahoma at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Oklahoma's already – lost one, and so there's going to be a lot of more pressure on
I can't see a scenario where Oklahoma loses this game and Bob Stoops is not out at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I don't think they can recover this year to a point where they say
even 10 and
Bob
2?
Stoops is the right guy to continue on.
It's almost like the our nice guy Mark Richt at
it
Georgia. You know, Bob Stoops wins enough games at Oklahoma, but he's not winning championships.
Yeah, and I think your point is great, 10-2. And if you're Ole Miss, if you're a lot of other programs in the middle, then 10-2 is great. But if you're Oklahoma, 10-2, if you're Georgia, 10-2, that's a great point, Mark.
Right.
Yeah. 10-2 is not your expectation.
Right. It's not what your fans expect.
It's not what your fans are. And that's not why they love Bob.
Right.
They love Bob because he used to be 11-0.
Right.
But he's not that way anymore.
Big game Bob.
He used to be big game Bob, but he's just going to have a tough time.
Yeah,
for sure.
USC at Stanford's going to be a great game.
Yeah, the Pac-12
to see how it's going to answer some questions for us to see how USC stacks up against another good team after Bama just routed them. You know, USC had a really good game last week against Utah State, just completely ran them out of the stadium. But that was Utah State. Stanford's a really good football team.
Strength of schedule implications for Alabama in that game. Also, a lot of hype with Stanford this year, I think, and really it's a chance for Stanford to insert their dominance on the Pac-12.
And McCaffrey's Heisman Trophy bit. He's got to have big days in games like this, and he certainly did last year in the conference championship game with SC, I think. Did they beat him twice last year? I think Stanford may have beat him twice last year. But anyway, this one, you know, again, SC before the Bama game, they were touting themselves as being back, you know, and obviously they weren't back. In terms of how Alabama just basically destroyed that team. But this is going to sort of say something about Stanford and about Alabama, I think.
I think the Pac-12 is in a similar state to the SEC in the last year. Not that they're nearly as good as a conference, but they have a lot of teams that are number 2-3 teams. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have a strong number 1. So you could, once again, have another team win the Pac-12 this year that has 2 or 3 losses.
Right.
And so I think these games tonight will certainly tell us a lot more about whether Stanford's a team that can go undefeated or to go out with one loss and be a real competitor in the Final Four.
Right. We got interesting game, Texas at Cal, late night game.
Absolutely. This will really tell whether I can stay up for the second half, which I'm taking the under on.
Yeah.
This is a late game for us.
Always take the under
every
week on that one for you, Adam.
Absolutely. And even not having to go outside into the heat today, I just get to stay in the air conditioning. But we'll see a 9:30 kick here on the Central Time Zone. That's tough.
Yeah, today's a day you don't want to be outside in Tuscaloosa.
Nope, absolutely.
No, that's for sure. But a great day of college football.
Great day of football.
Complete opposite of last week, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally the opposite. These are such big games this week.
For sure.
And you know, beginning at 11 o'clock. And going at 11 a.m. and going all the way through, you know, 11 at night, and beyond. So
that's what we see out there today. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back with our special guest, Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox. You're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey! Welcome back to Skybox and 90.7 The Capstone. It's a great pleasure today to have Mayor Walt Maddox here with us. Mayor, thanks for taking the time to visit with this motley crew.
Hey, I'm excited to be here. This is the fun stuff.
Yeah, well, this is your second time with us, and so you are a returning guest, which we don't get to say very often. You've decided, you've experienced this and decided to come back, so we really appreciate you
I'm
taking the time.
I'm shocked to decide to come back.
Absolutely.
We begged him to come back.
Must be a slow Thursday in Tuscaloosa, right?
In my defense, it's election year. So.
That's a good point.
There we go.
we plan to not bring up any potholes or anything very specific to talk about on the air today and keep it mostly to football.
I was hoping he'd have my driveway repaid.
Right, that's true. That's true.
I bet.
You live in the city?
I do.
All right, we'll get on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but a lot going on in Tuscaloosa, you've been, I think all of us agree, one of the great mayors in the country, and the town has improved so much over the last few years, and so much development going on, good development, mm-hmm. I should say. But how does it look from your point of view, you know, the city and everything that's going on? Seems like there's so much happening.
It is, and when we look back this year when we were putting together the fiscal year budget for 17, and since we took office in 2005, our population has grown nearly 19%.
Wow.
We've grown by 16,000 people within the city itself. To give you some, you know, reference, that's like growing into Coleman. We've grown, and certainly our budgets have reflected that. When I took office, we were around $120 million. Now we're $197 million. So we're a city that's growing, and that's where we want to be. We're one of the state's fastest growing cities, and that, as a mayor, those are the problems you want to assume. Growth is tough. Road construction is tough. You want to be on that side of the equation. You don't want to be on the other. And I love where Tuscaloosa is right now. And here's what's really cool for me. Where we sit, we now have an opportunity to go after industries today that 11 years ago we would never even be in the calculus.
Right.
So we are now working on projects that I'm not certain we'll get this year or next year, but I think over the next 5 to 10 years we're going to be able to secure, because we're growing. We're growing with the university, we're growing with Mercedes, and we're growing with all of our different business partners. It's an exciting time to be in Tuscaloosa, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. We talked about it again last year, that as the city grows, the university grows, we're really growing together. And the same thing, we have the same challenges at the university of how do we deal with growth, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of other universities across the country that have the opposite problem, like you're mentioning, of how do you deal with enrollment dropping? How do you deal with budgets going down? And so how intertwined is that success and that growth of both the city and the university?
Well, I mean, yesterday had lunch with the chancellor, and we have constant communication with the president. And so our teams actually meet on a quarterly basis under us. So it's always working together, because when the university expands, it needs new water systems, mm-hmm. new stormwater, new sewage, new road. All of that's intertwined into the city's infrastructure. So it requires us to work together. On a public safety side, our police departments have unified patrols in areas of downtown, what we call the UA box. So they're on many levels, whether it's education, economic development. We are in coordination with the university. It's not always perfect, and certainly we both are large organizations, but it is seamless. And one great example of that's game day.
Mm-hmm.
On game day, UA is in control of the scene. The majority of the assets are actually City of Tuscaloosa, but the coordination between the two is outstanding, and I'm very proud of this partnership, because if the university is successful, the city is going to be successful.
Right. Right. Well, what are, you know, the obviously there was a lot of talk about traffic on McFarland mm-hmm. with all the road construction. Those were DOT jobs, right? In terms
right.
of how did all that work? It seems like it's pretty much done out there from what I've seen. But how's it going from your point of view?
Well, I was disappointed, and I've certainly expressed this to ALDOT, that they managed the project and not a consulting firm. And number one, I think an engineering consulting firm managing the project would have saved taxpayers' dollars. Number two, most likely the consulting firm would also be a firm that does business with the city, so they would have wanted to move the project more along, because they know that the city's going to be looking at them to expedite it. Now, that being said, in ALDOT's defense, that project is a lot more difficult than just moving some roads around. You're talking about stormwater, sewer, water, in some cases that can be 20 to 30 feet underground. And so a lot of the work that's being done is beneath the roadway. It's almost mining work. And then when you set pipes in, and all these pipes have to work based off gravity, you have to let it sit there. You have to let it set. You got to let the soil conditions over weeks come in to make sure that the pipes are still elevated in such a way that the everything works. So a lot of times when people say, well, we didn't see anything, it could have been just because we were settling pipes or the work was being done at night. But overall, that project is going to be huge, and it's going to return capacity back to levels in the early 2000s. Now, it's only going to work if ALDOT continues to make improvements along the 82 corridor. Right. And to their credit, they have been committed to do that. I met with Director Cooper a couple weeks ago, and he's putting in place a funding plan, and the city is going to match it. That's going to continue the road improvements on Highway 82 over the next 10 years.
Good. Good. Part of it seems to be, though, you know, there's more traffic, I guess, because there's just more good stuff out there. I mean, yeah, the development absolutely. There, my daughters and I tend to go to BurgerFi every week.
Mm-hmm. You know. Delicious.
And you get the chicken sandwich.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And it's you know, there's so much there now. And it's just like, it's great for the town. It's great. Obviously, this is happening all over town with hotels, restaurants, all kinds of things. But in that location specifically, it's, you know, it's night and day from what it was years ago.
And we needed it to be. And one of the things that I'm really proud of is the strategic focus that the city took after the tornado. Here's why. Ultimately, to keep low taxes, the city has to grow its sales tax base. To grow your sales tax base means you have to have commercial business. Prior to the tornado, we had really run out of commercial corners in our city. You don't make a lot of new land. And so it was important for us to be able to take significant transportation areas and rezone that to commercial use. To give you an example, the Cedar Crest lot where Shops of Legacy is now, before the tornado, generated less than $50,000 a year in taxes. It was had 53 residential homes. Today, that site generates over $1 million in taxes.
Wow,
that's what proper planning does mm-hmm. to make sure that we get it right. Now, we took a lot of grief the first year about why is it so slow after the tornado. It was because we had to change the dynamic if we were going to survive as a city. We had to cash flow $44 million during the tornado. We knew we had to build back a business model that worked for the city if we were going to keep our taxes low and not go borrow money. So I'm proud that we took the strategic approach, and that's just one example. It's not in my business, and it's, you know, not to compare it to coaching, but it's really a what have you done for me lately, mm-hmm. which makes it very hard to think long term. One of the true blessings that I have working for the city of Tuscaloosa and working for the people who pay my salaries is they've allowed me actually to be more long term. The people I work for have been very patient. And that has really been every elected official gets that gift. And I've been very blessed to work for a city that has allowed us to be patient and make the long-term strategic decisions, something this university clearly has done and has paid dividends.
Well, I want to move the conversation to football, which is, you know, why we're here, why we're excited. I just recently learned before the show that one of your best games as a UAB Blazer was against my West Kentucky Hilltoppers. Talk to us about how, you know, your excitement about UAB football coming back and how you guys are going to be looking going forward.
Well, everything I am and everything I hope to be is because Gene Bartow and Coach Hilliard took an opportunity to let me play football at UAB. It provided me discipline and structure that, you know, helped me go on to get my undergrad and graduate degrees. And so I'm excited about UAB coming back, and I'm excited about the Birmingham business community who has already put in $38 million towards new facilities. They've raised more money in 1 year than they did in 20 previous years.
That's awesome.
So I think that's going to be good for UAB in Birmingham. But I do have great memories of I have one great memory and one bad memory of your Hilltoppers.
Let's hear them.
Well, the good memory is my junior year, we had just moved from Division III to Division I AA, and I think it was second or third game of the year we played the Hilltoppers. And I had one of my best games ever. They ran the I-bone under Coach Harbaugh. And so
what year was that?
That was probably 93, I believe.
Willie Taggart, the quarterback at that time?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I probably was concussed most of the game.
Let's anyway. Not get into too much detail.
Sorry,
yeah.
Well, he's the head coach of
Let's
South
remember.
Florida.
He's
I was going we to connect the top radio.
After
man.
I
we were
ran back three interceptions for a touchdown. No, but they were running to my side a lot, which now looking back probably is – not a good thing. They must have seen a weakness, and that's why they ran to my side. But it did give me an opportunity to make a lot of tackles. And one of the scariest moments is after they scored a touchdown on us, we were jogging off the field. It was their first touchdown. And all of a sudden this cannon went off, and half the team hit the ground. We never played in a stadium where they shot off a cannon.
Oh, yeah.
But one of my worst memories was I really thought I wanted to be a college football coach. That was my dream in life. I wanted to coach college football. And so in 1995, Watson Brown was kind enough, who is one of the great men of the profession, hired me to be a graduate coach. And so I got an opportunity for about a year to work in that reign. And one of the duties of a graduate coach is that you've got to coach the scout team, which is just heck on earth. There's no other way to describe it because you get a bunch of 18-year-olds who are not excited about being there. Long story short, I had a young man. His last name is McSorley, and I won't tell you his first name or where he's from because I'd probably get in trouble. He was very mad about being on the scout team. He was a fullback, and during this particular practice getting ready for Western Kentucky, he wouldn't block down on the end. Well, Coach Henry, our defensive coordinator, who is still coaching today, he's at Baylor, is like Bobby Knight. That's the best way to describe him. Big, yells, cusses, I mean, just all out. And so McSorley done balked down on the end. Coach Henry immediately says, looks at the player and says, if you don't block down on this next play, I'm firing Maddox.
Whoa.
Well, whoa. You know what happened on the next play. He didn't block down, and Coach Henry said, get your out of here. And so I start walking off the field thinking, how am I going to pay for my scholarship? I'll never get a job if I got fired in this job. And, you know, Coach Henry's just yelling. And then all of a sudden he goes, where in the are you going? And I just sit there and think, oh, my God, what do I do? Come back. We get through the end of practice. Coach Brown calls up the team. And, you know, first time I'd ever been fired in my life. But rehired, I guess, is the good
right,
news.
Right on the spot.
Coach Henry I feel this big paw come around my shoulder, and it's Coach Henry, and he hugs me up tight, and he says, you're one of the best GAs I've ever had.
Wow.
And so, you know what?
There you go.
So that I've been fired because of Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
But also had one of my best games. So yeah. Mixed emotions.
Yeah, you've experienced glory because of Western Kentucky.
You know, that eye bone is so confusing for especially scout teams
right.
to mimic during
yeah,
course
absolutely.
Of course
especially
of a practice.
When the athletes that they have on the first team on the other team, it's always tough. Same with, you know, the wishbone and, you know, everything else, the Air Force and
yeah.
the academies run. So.
There's so much movement, it's yeah. so hard to emulate. And you see why teams now struggle when they face Navy, who can execute
absolutely.
It. And yeah, I think Army's 2-0, by the way, and more of an option-based offense. Oh, so.
Yeah,
very nice.
Hopefully that's the last Hilltoppers discussion we have.
I'm sorry, I get excited.
Hey, can I ask you what the world is the mascot?
It's Big Red. It's just a big red blob.
Right.
That's what
big
it
red
is.
Blob, yeah.
So it's not that you didn't know what it is. It's exactly what you thought
it's
it was.
It's exactly what it is.
That's we had this discussion on Saturday.
That's
people
the brilliance
the
of it.
Oh. Right.
Yeah, it's a big
it's
red
exactly
blob.
What you
there's,
thought
yeah.
it was. Right.
There's no
there's
mystery
nothing more to
it.
I'm going
to
sit here and nod wisely like I understand
yeah.
that.
Right. It's
yeah.
just a blob.
It's the greatest mascot in the world. Yeah, that's a lot. I realize that's a lot of West Kentucky talk, but I'm fine with it.
Andrew, what I love about your story, Mayor Maddox, is that your experience as a student athlete is very similar to the experience that we try to create for students here on campus, is that what can you do during your collegiate experience that truly can prepares you for a career, mm-hmm. for being a citizen, and for really being a fully developed person. So your story is very much like the story of the students that we have in student media and university recreation and student leadership roles.
Right.
Everybody attaches to something, whether it be athletics or a student organization or something. And that's the experience that we're looking to provide for students in student affairs. And so you have such a great story that's very similar to what we all do here on campus yeah. every
well,
day.
Well, and that passion, people sometimes say, how can you be mayor of Tuscaloosa and have such a passion for UAB? It's because of UAB that I've had an opportunity to be successful, and I want other kids like me to have that same opportunity.
Absolutely, and that connection to UAB will never leave you, like Andrew's poor connection to Western Kentucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. All right.
Okay, so that's what's happening here in Tuscaloosa with Mayor Maddox, and he's kindly agreed to hang around for a few more minutes to make his picks on tough 10 truly tough matchups. We'll be right back with the mayor. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Mayor, we have 10 games for you as our guest picker today. So let's get down to it. The first one is an electric game, Florida State at Louisville. Where's your head at?
Well, Florida State's a two-point favorite. I'm going with Louisville. I like Lamar Jackson. I like the home environment.
I like
the early start for the home team.
Okay.
That's a good
point.
That's
your
fearless pick right off the get-go.
Adam's hyperventilating over there on that pick. All right. The FSU guy.
Same 11 a.m. game. Miami, Florida versus Appalachian State. Appalachian State coming off a tough loss a couple weeks ago to Tennessee. You think they can piece it back together against Miami?
Well, personal connection. My uncle was a 30-plus year theologian professor at App State. So Boone, North Carolina is going to be rocking, and App State with the win. And don't even call it an upset.
App State right out the gate. Mark Rick's a great guy, though.
He is a nice guy.
He's such a good guy, but
he's going to leave Boone a little disappointed.
There you go. All right, moving into the 2:30 slot, we got Oregon at Nebraska. What do you think?
Well, the fake Bo Pelini in me has a lot of doubt about this. Mike Riley, who a Bama guy, he's familiar with Oregon because of Oregon State connections. I'm going to say Nebraska breaks through and wins this game, but I can see this going either way. But
I don't feel it right here in your heart.
I don't
feel
it in my heart, but I'm going with Big Red and Lincoln.
You're going all right. Fearless
okay.
today.
Yeah. All right, let's move to 6 o'clock game between SEC and Mississippi State at LSU. Who you got?
Well, this is a tough one because it's must-not-watch television, in my opinion.
Can they free maybe?
Which quarterback's going to throw the most interceptions or be sacked, I think, is the question we need to be asking ourselves. Because it's in Baton Rouge. I'm going to go LSU. I think they found a quarterback in Etling that may be able to get them back in a national SEC and national championship race. I think Mississippi State is better than what they showed at USA. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to see this game be very competitive.
All right. Okay, we're going to go to the Plains and Texas A&M at Auburn. And what do you think about the Gus Bus, and what about this game?
Well, I think the Gus Bus has cranked back up, and certainly they played impressively against Clemson, and then they won. They did what they should have done last week and dismantled Arkansas State. I'm going to go Auburn on this. I think Auburn wins, and I think this puts Summerlin on the hot seat in a very major way for Texas A&M.
All right.
Let's head up a little north here. A couple of green teams, Michigan State at Notre Dame, an old rivalry kind of, a big game for both of these two teams. Who do you have here?
Well, I certainly wish Notre Dame could lose, but and we know this is the 50th anniversary of the game that actually propelled Alabama out of a national championship, ironically, back in
the tie,
which I don't understand how it disqualified us from the 1966 national championship, but we have to let that go. Yeah. And that being said, I would love to see Michigan State win this football game. But I really believe Notre Dame is a very good football team. Mm-hmm. I think they're a very good football team. I watched most of the game against Texas. I certainly think they have the offensive firepower. They're playing at home, which is another advantage. So wake up the echoes, Notre Dame and Deshaun Kaiser win and win pretty handily.
All right.
Ohio State Buckeyes go up from here to Norman, Oklahoma, and play at Oklahoma, who's already taken a tough loss this year. This is a marquee matchup, a home-and-home with Ohio State and Oklahoma over the next 2 years. Who do you have in this one?
Well, it's a situation where you wish both could lose. I don't really have a lot of love for either team. For some reason, although the line actually shows Ohio State winning, when you talk to people, Oklahoma seems to be the favorite. I'm going to lean differently and get fearless here. I think Ohio State is a very good football team, and Urban Meyer, for what we may think of him, is one of the best football coaches in the game. Right. I like Ohio State in this game to win, and I think that Big Game Bob is on a decline in Norman, Oklahoma, although he seems to be a good coach.
Yeah, and 2 weeks ago we were talking about them being in the Final Four.
I just Baker Mayfield, who I think is a really good quarterback, I think JT Barrett shines, and JT Barrett gets into the Heisman Trophy race.
There we go.
USC out west, USC at Stanford, another kind of big game. USC's taken a loss, of course, to us, but USC at Stanford.
Well, behind Nick Saban, David Shaw may be the best coach in America. And what he does consistently at Stanford, who've had some near misses from making its way into the BCS playoffs or BCS championship game. As much as I would like to see USC show up and play well, which would help validate our earlier win against them, I think Stanford, who is a 9-point favorite, is going to win and win pretty handily. USC was not very impressive to me. I watched a little bit of the Stanford-Kansas State game earlier in the year. I just think Stanford has the defensive firepower to win, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're not talking about Stanford later on in the year when we get to playoff time.
All right.
Year in, year out, that defense under Shaw has been incredible, right?
He is an incredible coach.
Yeah, that's a great point. Finally, out west, UCLA at BYU, the 9:15 kickoff. BYU's had a couple interesting games already, and UCLA, who knows who they are again?
Well, anything can happen in Provo, but I'll be asleep by then. I'll wake up and try to find out since I've got these picks out here. I want to see how I do. I think UCLA going into College Station and playing well a couple of weeks ago, although Provo is certainly a tough environment, I think they're going to come in with some confidence. This is just a tough one to pick. I will say UCLA, but I wouldn't be surprised either way. BYU's coming off a heart-crushing loss last week to Utah. I think UCLA comes in with a little momentum. Hey, I'm going to go UCLA.
All right, Bruins on the road.
All right, Mayor, before we get to Bama Ole Miss, I think you want to add – let's add a game. I think you brought
the Mayor
table, North
upset
Dakota
special,
State,
yeah, we call it.
Against Iowa. What you got?
You know what? My 11 years in office has always been about being bold, all right? So there's no way I wasn't going to show up in this studio today and not give your listeners something to hang their hat on. North Dakota State, the Bisons, the mighty Bisons, FCS champion Bisons, roll into Iowa City, Iowa, to take on the Hawkeyes. I smell an upset.
Don't even call it
an upset.
I love it. I need to tell you, Carson Wentz isn't walking through that door, though.
Well, last year, Iowa, you know, who all year people talked about, this was a national championship contender, and certainly they showed well. But come on, man.
Yeah.
The North Dakota State is going to win this ball game.
I love it.
All right. Well, Mayor, Alabama at Ole Miss. What do you think?
I hate to be this confident, but I really think Alabama is going to win, and I think they will even go beyond the 11-point favorite they're on. And here's the reason why, a couple of reasons. One, Saban is strategic. His outburst last week was not some random act.
Right.
He doesn't do random. And so certainly I think he is in his mind getting this team ready to play. Second, I believe that all the controversy that has surrounded Ole Miss in the offseason has an impact. I've been a player. You're not immune to what happens outside that locker room. So I'm not sure how focused they are, although certainly talented. The third thing is Jalen Hurd, and it could be the best quarterback in Alabama's history. Last weekend I was in the north end zone, so I took a lot of time looking at his footwork while he was, you know, during the game. He is doing things that a freshman quarterback that you would see in a senior quarterback, not a freshman quarterback. It doesn't mean he's not going to make the freshman mistakes, but every game he's going to continue to get better.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that with, you know, Calvin Ridley, Adarius Stewart, O.J. Howard, offensive line who needs to improve, especially on the running game. If we continue to improve, I think we come out 14-21 points out of Oxford with a victory. That's my prediction, and I sure hope I'm right.
Well, we're homers here, so I sure hope you're right.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
No doubt about it.
I think Chad Kelly, you know that Chad Kelly video, or Chad Kelly, and I forget the receiver's name for Ole Miss, who made the miraculous catch last year and won that ball game. Saban can say all he wants to say about last year's game has no impact on this year's game. Not buying it, Coach Saban.
That's on a loop right now, isn't it?
Right. That's right.
Well, Mayor, it's been great to have you on the show. You class up this joint every year, so we really appreciate
it. Again, setting the bar low, right?
Right. We really appreciate it. But now it's higher because you're here. I don't know what we're going to do without you on the show now. But we'll have you come back again. Hopefully this year we may get you back on. Okay, those sound like great picks. I think you might have convinced me on one or two of these to go your way. I was thinking the other way. So, anyway, great to have you here.
Thank you.
Come back anytime. Now we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with our Fillers Picks. You're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. So, Adam and Andrew, it's time to make some really tough picks. You know, the mayor had some good picks, but now it's time for us to step up. What do you think?
The mayor was fearless and bold.
But he was, wasn't he?
That he was.
He truly was. He, and as we said, he sort of classed up the joint and
absolutely
put some pressure on us to pull
it together,
do some
really
good picks and get it together. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, it starts off with Adam with your team, Florida State at Louisville.
Yeah, as I talked about earlier, I think this is a scary game. If this was a Thursday night game, then I would probably go against Florida State and pick Louisville. I think even with the loss of Derwin James and some issues that Florida State has, I think their freshman quarterback continues to get better. And I think Florida State pulls it out very closely on the road at Louisville.
Yeah, I like Florida State as well. Lamar Jackson looks human this weekend. Mm-hmm. That Florida State defense is tough, as we've seen and we've talked about before and we talked about earlier. I've got to go Florida State here.
I think it's a fourth quarter win, though. I think it's a tough morning for me at my house.
Yeah.
Well, the mayor who picked Louisville almost convinced me.
He did.
I mean, this is and I've been thinking Louisville, but I'm gonna not be as fearless as the mayor on this. I'm gonna stick with FSU. I did. We talked about in the first show of this season that FSU is one of the best teams in the country. They certainly looked at the second half against mm-hmm. Ole Miss. This is a really tough game for them, but I think it'll be close. I think FSU has the overall better athletes, mm-hmm. better team, and if they play up to their potential, I think they win this game.
That's a good point.
The mayor also had an interesting pick on Miami at Appalachian State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fearless, but I'm going Miami. I think nice guy beats App State, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Miami looks at the film against Tennessee and says this team can play, and then they go in there prepared.
They pay attention.
Yeah, right. They pay attention, yeah, and they go in prepared for sure. So Miami for me.
Guys, I'm going with the mayor on this. I'm going to pick App State.
Ooh,
I'm not convinced.
Truly fearless.
I think
I don't know about that.
I think they're going to give Mark Richt a nice guy award at the beginning of the game, and I think he's going to get beat by a really good App State football team. So we'll see. I don't know. Close game. Vandy at Georgia Tech, what you got?
I like Vanderbilt. This was a tough pick for me. I went back and forth. I like Vanderbilt's defense. They look like an improved football team this year, although they're not great. They're not going to be at the top of the SEC. But I do believe they're improved, and I think that they're going to beat Georgia Tech.
I'm going Ramblin' Wreck. I like Georgia Tech to win at home. If this was at Vandy, I'd probably go Vandy. But I think Georgia Tech pulls it out at home.
Yeah, I'm going Georgia Tech, too. I think their offense will – you know, they'll get their running game together, and I think they'll beat Vandy. All right, Colorado at Michigan, the Khaki King hosting Colorado, which is a better team this year than they have been in the past.
It's not hard to be better than they've been in the past,
right.
But I think Michigan's too much for them. I think Michigan's going to lose somewhere along the line, but it's not this week.
I agree. It's definitely Michigan. Michigan at home in the big house against Colorado. No, yeah. Colorado could improve tenfold. Still not going to be.
I agree. Michigan wins this one.
Shockingly, big. Mark Mayfield chooses Michigan.
Yeah, I know.
So a great game that, again, the mayor went out on a limb here, I think, a little bit. It's his love for, I think, fake Bo Pelini, frankly, on Twitter. But
right.
Oregon going into Nebraska, what do you gentlemen have?
I'm going with Oregon on this. I think the Ducks are just a better team. Although,
me too.
You know, I it's a tough game for them, and their defense is still not great with Oregon. But I think they'll have their offense rolling. They'll outscore them.
Yeah, I like Oregon again. I think Oregon is kind of flying under the radar. We might have talked about it in the past couple weeks. Not saying that they're going to win the Pac-12 or anything, but I think Oregon is a better team.
It's a good point, though. Nobody's talking about Oregon at all yet.
Right.
Pittsburgh at Oklahoma State. I think this is a really interesting game. Oklahoma State and Pittsburgh have both played some interesting football so far this year. Who do you have, Mark?
I'm going with Pitt. I'm actually going with Pitt.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State in that loss last weekend.
Right.
I know it was the ref's problem, you know, but still, that shouldn't have been close. And
it's going to stick with them, right?
I'm sticking with Pittsburgh, and I think they showed us something against Penn State last week, although that wasn't that hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going with Pitt.
I'm going with Oklahoma State. I think that team binds together after that tough loss. Mike Gundy really gets the team together, and they beat Pitt for sure.
I'm going with Pittsburgh. I agree with you, Mark. The ACC battle here between Boston College and Virginia Tech in the comfy confines of boring Blacksburg. Who do you all have? BC at Virginia Tech, Andrew. What do you got?
I've got Virginia Tech. Boston College has burnt me once this year, and I made a vow that I wouldn't let it happen again. So Virginia Tech. There was some upside in the first half against Tennessee, so I think.
You're not going to make a living off of choosing BC too often, I can tell you.
No, you're not. Sure. I learned that the hard way week one. Yeah. So.
Maybe in hockey, but in football, it's not going to help you.
Right.
I'm Va Tech on that one, too.
Yeah, me too. I go Va Tech. Yep. Battle of the Carolinas here. ECU at Mean Man USC.
Yeah.
I like South Carolina here. Actually, you know, I don't. I'm picking South Carolina, but I don't trust them in any game this year against any
nope.
team. But
it's
I am
be a
picking,
terrible game to
I'm
watch,
picking South Carolina. I'm not going to watch this game.
Yeah, there's a lot of other options at 2:30. No reason to watch this game at 3.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I wanted to pick ECU, and I this is tough pick. I'm going to pick South Carolina just because at home. That's the only reason. This is going to be an ugly game as far as I'm concerned. But I'll go with South Carolina.
Sure. So. Andrew, let's make it interesting. Start at 6 o'clock here.
Yeah, so 6 p.m. game, Mississippi State at LSU. Who you got, Mark?
I'm going LSU. I think, you know, they did finally change quarterbacks, didn't they, a week ago. I don't know who they're going to put out there, you know, tonight. But I think that LSU Fournette will – it looks like he may play, and you know, and I think even if he doesn't, I think they win this game. Mississippi State's struggling. As the mayor was talking about it, it's been a little, you know, weird with Mississippi State playing so poorly and then playing decent. But I think LSU is just a much better football team.
I think LSU at home gets the win relatively easily. I still don't understand why they can't recruit a quarterback that can play the position and why they look so bad at playing football.
Right.
Because they look bad at playing football.
And they have guys that know how to play football.
And they have guys that know how to play, and they have a coach that theoretically knows how to coach football. So all the pieces are there, but they really are confusing to watch.
Yeah.
As I said, I think last week. But I think they win.
Yeah, I'm going LSU as well. It's a night game in Death Valley. Yeah. You know, I mean, bottom line, Mississippi State is a little bit better than I think people give them credit for because of that early season loss against South Alabama, but I am going to pick LSU in this one. Continuing with the 6 p.m. games, we got Texas A&M at Auburn, the Gus Bus. Home game for the Gus Bus. Not going anywhere this weekend. What do you think, Adam?
The mayor kind of liked the Gus Bus.
He
the
did, didn't he?
Auburn.
He said it was
you
cranking back up. Yeah.
You could tell he was feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I think Texas A&M is going to go in there, and Summerlin's going to get a big win, and we'll hear a lot of talk about them in the next week or so. I think Texas A&M goes in there and beats Auburn.
I totally agree with you. I think A&M is a much better football. I mean, you know, and plus this is the beginning of the season where A&M tends to do good. They fall in the second half.
They got plenty of time to lose five games.
Yeah,
for
right.
Sure,
they've
absolutely.
Got that. So I think they're going to go in there and beat up on Auburn, and I think they're going to win by a couple of touchdowns.
I feel
the same way
about Auburn that I do about LSU, except for – I'm confused at how they're playing football. I don't understand their quarterback and how they play. But I think their coaching is weaker at Auburn than it is at LSU. So I think he's part of the confusion, the Gus himself.
I'm going with a fearless pick here. I'm going to go with the mayor. The mayor talked me into it. Ooh. I'm going with Auburn at home. It being a home game for Auburn is really wild.
No, do you live in the city of Tuscaloosa? You don't have to go with the mayor.
You're right, but I do live in the city.
Okay,
and,
there you
and
go.
The mayor was a great guy. So
No doubt. Right. And he did have a good point. Auburn has played pretty well.
Their
defense better than
Clemson.
I thought in terms of defense.
Their defense against Clemson was good. They're at home. Texas A&M, like you said, I think the five game
the skid is coming.
The skid starts.
It's coming.
Thank
you're
you,
right.
Adam. I appreciate that.
You're right.
Going into the 6:30 matchups, we have Michigan State at Notre Dame. Where are you at with this one, Adam?
I'm going Sparty. I think Sparty's going to go in there and beat them up.
I'm going to go Notre Dame. I'm going to stick with the mayor on that one. He went Notre Dame. He didn't want to because he doesn't like them. He made that clear. I'm the same way. I don't like them either. I like – this is the old thing. I like Bama and anybody that plays Notre Dame.
Right. Yeah.
I think Notre Dame wins this one.
Yeah, I'm going with the Golden Domers as well.
All right.
I think they're a little bit better team. Michigan State, another team not many people are talking about as much this year. So
not a lot of returners.
Not a lot
of
returners.
Michigan State offense.
Yeah, Notre Dame takes this one. 6:30 game again, Georgia at Missouri. I've got Georgia. I think they're a stronger team, one of the SEC East favorites. I think this is a no-brainer. But
I think it's a big win for Georgia.
Yeah, I agree. Georgia too.
Ohio State at Oklahoma, big, big matchup this weekend. What do you think, Mark?
I'm going Ohio State. I think the Buckeyes are one of the best teams in the country. And I think Oklahoma, as Adam referred to the coach as mid-game Bob.
Medium game Bob.
This is a bigger game. This is time for him to step up and be big game Bob, and he will. He'll lose. Ohio State wins.
Yeah. I agree. I think the Buckeyes beat him. I don't think Oklahoma has it, and I think it's the beginning of the end for medium to small game Bob.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. JT Barrett really shows out. And the mayor said JT Barrett possible –
get himself in the Heisman.
Possible Heisman.
That's a good point.
Candidate after this
really
game.
JT plays up to his potential. He should be.
For sure.
Let's go out west here for 7 o'clock. We've got the Trojans at the tree. USC at Stanford. Who do you gentlemen have?
I've got Stanford. I love what the mayor said about David Shaw. I think he is one of the best coaches in America, and what he has done at Stanford, building off what Harbaugh had done, is truly amazing with the academic standards.
It's not an easy university to get into.
Not an easy university.
Look at Stanford. Look at Vandy. Look at Georgia Tech. Look at Boston College. Look at some of these schools, and look at the comparison of how this team is doing.
Right. I'm going Stanford too. I want to pick USC in this game. I really do. First of all, I want Bama's strength of schedule to be good.
Absolutely.
So I want USC to win. But Stanford's got the program. They've had USC's number now for years. I think Stanford wins this game, and McCaffrey. I think in the end, USC can't stop McCaffrey.
The best player on the field is on the tree side, and
right.
I think
absolutely.
That's going to win it. Absolutely.
Right.
So we're all tree on that one. We'll go to 9:15, as the mayor alluded to. This is the real adults are asleep in the second half window. If they make it through the first half, UCLA at BYU. I think this is an intriguing game. I'm going BYU. I'm just going to say straight up, I'm taking BYU at home. What about you?
I'm taking UCLA. All
right.
Josh Rosen's going to sling it around. BYU's been good to me this season, but I've got to
go. So you're turning
on
them?
Yeah, I'm turning on them. I'm turning
Josh
my back.
Josh Rosen will turn on you, Andrew. I'm just telling you. He's turned on me countless times.
Yeah, you can't trust him.
You can't trust Josh Rosen.
You're right.
So I'm going to trust BYU more than Rosen.
I have to. I've made my pick. I have to do it.
All right. I'm with you, Adam. I'm going BYU precisely for that reason.
Right.
Oh, no. Just can't trust Josh Rosen.
I don't feel good about that pick anymore, guys.
And so I think BYU at home, I don't think UCLA travels that well, and I think BYU wins it.
Talking about slinging around, BYU is going to manage to sling it around a bit too.
Yeah.
So I think they'll score big. And finally tonight, late this evening, Texas at Cal. A really intriguing matchup if you ask me, which you didn't.
Yeah.
Texas Cal. What do you got, Andrew?
I like Texas. I'm not as hyped about Texas as everyone else is in the country, but I do think they're much, much improved, and I think they're a better team than Cal, and they're going to show it.
All right, Mark.
I like Texas too. I'm sticking with Charlie Strong. I've been with him now this will be the third game this year.
It's impressive for you to stick with somebody
for three games.
I'll leave him sooner or later. Yeah, I'll leave him maybe the fourth or fifth. But yeah.
Very impressive, Mark. So I have stuck with Cal through two games and they burned me. I'm going with Texas too. I think we're straight Longhorns on this one.
Yeah.
I think Texas is gonna be the better team, and Cal will try to score a bunch of points, but I think Texas makes a lot more sense.
Which absolutely means that Cal's going to win this game.
Yes,
that we all pick Texas.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
so let's
great.
Go to the mayor's upset special then. He had North Dakota State University at Iowa. He went North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, is anybody going to take North Dakota State?
I'm going to Iowa.
You're going to Iowa.
I got to go.
I'm going to Iowa for
– I think he may be right, but I just – sort of believe
I'm
Iowa
going to Iowa for this reason. They know what North Dakota State is made of. They know that championship pedigree, and they're taking this team very seriously. So.
I'm going corn too. I'll go with them for sure.
All right.
Well, there we go. That's all of our picks except the big one. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back to discuss Bama at Ole Miss. This is Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone. Well, our Alabama Crimson Tide have lost two straight games to Ole Miss, but neither of them really derailed our SEC title or college football playoff hopes. But no team has beaten a Nick Saban Alabama team 3 years in a row. So it's a very interesting game, our second huge game, really, of the very young season. We've got to go into Oxford. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here in Tuscaloosa. The weather in Ole Miss, Andrew says, could be a little dicey, but you know, that's our expert weather report from Andrew. Gentlemen, where to start on this game? Ole Miss opened the year playing Florida State in Orlando, and they played a great first half of football and then essentially got dominated in the second half. Which team is going to show up today?
I think the one of the big storylines for this game is the expectations for this game the past 3 years have got increasingly
bigger and bigger, and bigger.
And so will the Crimson Tide lose three straight? You know, Ole Miss already has that one loss against Florida State. It's kind of a different dynamic coming into this game. Usually, you know, they're going to be fighting for top 10 spot in America. Mm-hmm. They can still fight for the SEC West, and so this game still has big implications, but just a little bit different from the past 2 years, for sure.
If you're that shady coach down in shady Oxford, you've got to be saying that your season's not over. You
right.
can take
yeah.
the L against right. Florida State. You can win right. out, and you can find yourself in the top right. four easily, right?
Well, you know, Ole Miss has never won since there's been a SEC championship game. Ole Miss has never won the SEC championship. And if they're ever going to win it, it's while Freeze has that program growing the way it is. And there's a lot of pressure on them. They do see, you know, the FSU loss was not a conference loss. Mm-hmm. So they're still alive in the SEC West. A lot of pressure on the Ole Miss at home. A lot of pressure, obviously, on Bama going into that game. But and it's a tough place to play. I think Ole Miss still may be the second best team in the mm-hmm. conference. I'm not mm-hmm. sure. We haven't seen enough football yet.
Talent-wise, returning starters, they absolutely should be.
They look they play football, unlike some of the other teams.
Right. They have a quarterback that can throw the football down the field.
They've got great receivers.
They do.
They do have a problem with – they had an injury to the DB, Webster. You know, they've got a problem in their secondary, but they've got a good defensive line. It's going to give Alabama's offense some – you know, I think Bama's – rejuggling the offensive line starters right now, and Ole Miss is going to try to exploit that. There's no doubt. Their key is to put pressure on Jalen Hurts. I mean, I'm sure defensively that's what they're working on. And we're going to see how good they can do that.
Well, and I love what Mayor Maddox said, too, about how intentional Coach Saban was last week about blowing up at Kiffin and blowing up in the media and keeping them on point for this game while the other game was the seconds were ticking down at the end of it.
Right.
I've got to imagine that he's kept the team pretty focused on this and that there's 3 years in a row. It's just hard to believe that could happen. Now it certainly could, but with their weaknesses that were clearly there against Florida State, that is a game that they should have won.
Right.
They were in the driver's seat. And I think that they will see a similar performance out of Alabama from the get-go this week that they saw out of Florida State in the second half. And while Chad Kelly, I think, is a great returning quarterback and should be one of the better, most senior players on the field, he just hasn't been enough to win every game for them, I think.
I love what the mayor said also about, you know, last year's losses or last 2 years' losses don't matter this year. It matters to the players and it matters to the Alabama community.
Mm-hmm.
Ask any student on campus, you know, which team do you despise the most? Ole Miss is going to be in that conversation now because of the past 2 years. So this game does matter. The past 2 years, that they do matter for this game, at least for the fan base and in most of the players' minds as well.
I think, you know, if you go back to the Florida State-Ole Miss game, the Florida State got after Kelly in the second half. That had a huge impact on that game. I think Bama is not going to let Chad Kelly beat them again.
Somebody
else is going to have to do it. I think Tim Williams and that group, Jonathan Allen and the Bama's defenders are going to go after him like we've never seen before. And I think somebody else is going to have to beat Alabama if Ole Miss is going to win this game. They're not going to let Chad Kelly
do it. I don't think they have somebody else that can beat Alabama.
And that's what I was going to say. Where's the running game? Mm-hmm. Where are they going to go if it's not Chad Kelly? You know,
I agree.
It's going to be tough for their offense this weekend.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Once again, the mayor, our finest of the special guests, he absolutely said it right in the fact that he feels strangely confident and felt a little worried about it. And I feel more confident this year than I did last year and the year before. I watched part of the Ole Miss game. It was on somewhere the other day while we were eating lunch, and it's ugly. It was awful.
Yeah.
You know, that game
was a horrible, really
tough last year.
It was unbelievable to see the fumbles and turnovers from Bama last year. That was so uncharacteristic.
And the fluke touchdown.
There was some fluke, absolutely. Yeah. But there was also, in my mind, some coaching mistakes and some quarterback messing around.
There was.
All of that stuff led to it. And so I like the fact that we're in a little bit more stable position, even with the youth that we have at quarterback position. I like the fact that we're going to start somebody and we're going to stick with them at least in an intentional way. And if we're going to shift out, it's not just going to be a sign of failure of some way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I look at this game. The mayor said Alabama would carry the line, 11 points. People are saying, oh, that's a high line, all that. It seems to be too high. But I agree with the mayor. I think Alabama's going to go in there and dominate this game. And it's going to be a tough game. I'm not saying they're just going to walk over them. But I'm thinking something like 35-17. Mm-hmm. I really am. I think Bama is just
late
a better
push,
football
maybe?
Team. Yeah, I think they're going to go in there and put up some points because of Ole Miss's secondary. I do think Ole Miss is going to give Hurts some trouble. I do believe that, but I think he'll have enough deep throws that with the receiving core he has to do that. I am worried about Bama's running game against Ole Miss's defensive line, but I think they.
What,
I think they carry
what
the
running game is that you
right
yeah, right I, right so which running game
if
right.
The weather doesn't cooperate if it's bad weather, then Ole Miss is toast. I think there's no running game.
They don't have an option.
They don't have much of an option.
If
only it was being held here in sunny Tuscaloosa on
right.
this beautiful Saturday.
Absolutely.
The running game's a good point, Mark, because I 35 is a lot of that's a lot of points.
It is.
That's a lot of points. I could see 24-27. But, 35 is a lot of points, Mark. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes from passing.
Yeah,
that's what I believe. And I believe the weakness on Ole Miss's defense is its secondary. And I think that's where Bama puts up the numbers and where Kiffin does his thing.
I'd love to see it.
Do we see any other quarterback besides Jalen Hurts this week?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I think he's clearly the starter now.
Absolutely.
Right. I think he's clearly the starter. It's interesting how we used other quarterbacks last week.
Right.
Because it was early in the game when we still were having issues. And
right.
So it'll be interesting to see if we see anybody else. I think that will tip coach's hat a little bit more about where he's going with the quarterback situation if we see a second quarterback early on in this game.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm thinking about changing my score pick to 35-10. I don't know that they'll score 17.
Well,
I sound like
17?
The biggest homer, which I am, of course. But I really believe it's like you were talking about, Adam.
24-10, 24-13.
The mayor seemed confident. We all seem pretty confident about this.
Absolutely. 24-10 seems more realistic to me,
right.
No doubt.
We seem very confident for a radio show full of absolute homers that work for the University
no
of Miami.
No question. We're always confident.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
Okay, folks, that's our story, and we're sticking to it. We want to thank Mayor Walt Maddox for joining us in the studio today. Awesome, awesome interview. We always enjoy our time with him. Also want to thank our producer, Terry Siggers, who's the general manager of the radio station. And if you're traveling to Bama, Ole Miss, or any other game today, please be careful out there. We'll talk to you guys next week, and you've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide,
folks.